listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
I want to talk to you about a very relevant subject and how we can deal with the subject of fear and actually disarming fear in our lives. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 20. And I'm going to do my very, very best to try to convince you this morning that Jesus' presence is your power to disarm any fear you have or will have in your life. Did you hear what I just said? The presence of Jesus is your answer to fear. And I'm going to talk to you about what fear looks like in your life. You might be sitting here today and saying, well, I'm not overcome by fear. Maybe, maybe not. So take a look at John chapter 20 and look at verse number 19. I'm going to read out of the English Standard Version. And here's what the scripture says in this account. On the evening of that day. What day? The day that the disciples gathered after Jesus was crucified. And I want you to notice something about this gathering. On that day, it happened to be the Lord's Day. And it happened to be on the evening of the Lord's Day. Let me put that into the frame of reference that you can understand. That would be Sunday night. Okay. A Sunday night after Jesus was crucified, he rose from the grave, the disciples gathered. So let me start again. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked, that's a clue. Why do you lock doors? You're afraid somebody's going to break in. They're not welcome. So to ensure the fact that they're not welcome, you're going to lock your doors, right? That's what you do. So the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Clue number two. This is what they were walking in, was the fear of the Jews. And Jesus came. Where did he come from? How did he get in? The doors were locked. Figure it out. How many know there was a post-resurrection miracle going on here? Jesus appeared through the walls, came into the house where they were gathered together. This is after Jesus had been crucified. He rose from the grave. They locked all the doors. And he stands in the midst of them, and he says, peace be with you. Wow. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Why would he do that? Well, he came in a rather unorthodox way. And to be sure that it was him coming in, he had to show evidence to them that this is the very same one that they knew. Then, it says, the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. The word that we're so commonly familiar with is fear, and it comes from the Greek deity Phobos. This Greek god, the role of this Greek god, Phobos, was to inspire fear into people. And I want you to know that at the heart of fear is a spiritual war or battle. That's the heart of fear. It's a spiritual battle. You might think it's an emotional thing, and you can touch your emotions, but at the heart of it, you're dealing with a spiritual battle, a war. The word phobia could have 1,000 different applications and prefixes. For instance, there's acrophobia, which means fear of heights. Agoraphobia means the fear of open spaces or crowds. And then there's the opposite, claustrophobia. Here are some more. Anthrophobia, aquaphobia, astrophobia. There's even a fear of gold, if you can imagine. Aurophobia. And these are barely scratching the surface of the phobias that start with the letter A. How many know there's a ton of other letters in our alphabet? So you can get overcome with fear very easily. Why? Because we live in a world consumed by fear. And we do so because we live without Jesus. That's the deal. We even conjure up ways to instill fear in our own lives. How stupid is that? You say, how do we do that, Pastor? Well, I'll tell you how we do it, like Halloween stuff. And I want to encourage you to rethink your participation in Halloween this year. Right now. You see, the absence of Jesus means fear. I want you to get that in your thinking this morning. And fear can be paralyzing. So let's just take a look at these disciples for a minute. They were hiding behind locked doors and shaking in their sandals. They're terrified in the aftermath of Jesus' death. The Bible says they feared the Jews. So which Jews were they fearing? Because most of that group in and of itself were Jews in the room. In that day, it was probably more common to fear the Romans. But I submit to you, the disciples weren't necessarily afraid of the Jews proper or even the Romans. They were demonstrating their fear of the Jewish religious system, which included the leaders of the Jews. They had just witnessed the side of this Jewish system that exercised their power, and if they could kill one of them, they could kill those that were following Jesus. So maybe they were planning, in this case, the Jewish leaders to kill more disciples, and that's what these disciples seem to be afraid of. And in the face of the unknown, these disciples should have, could have, been good to be drawing upon God's strength. But like us, they were very human. And when push came to shove, they found themselves extremely full of fear. Their fear froze their capacity to trust by faith. And it distorted their view of the future I ask you, does that sound familiar? The Bible says in this account, then suddenly Jesus came. He came. And when he came, the first words out of his mouth were, "Peace be with you." I want you to notice something. He did not admonish them for their fearful state. He didn't beat them up. He didn't scold them. He didn't chastise them for their disbelief. He didn't do any of that. Jesus simply spoke encouragement into their deepest need at that moment. The Bible says, so stretching out his hands, revealing his pierced side, he spoke of the fact that Jesus was with them. And the Bible says this, the response to that, they were glad. Do you know why they were glad? Because fear was gone. Jesus entered the room, a room filled with fear, but once he entered the room, fear is gone. I want you to get it in your mind, when you're in the presence of Jesus, fear has to go. But if you trust in a whole lot of other things and don't let go of your fear, it's going to be a problem. Jesus was intersecting their point of fear as he stood in the room, showed with full evidence who he was, and spoke the words of peace. And I want you to picture the flood of relief that comes when they recognize this figure with them, and he was Jesus in person. They could have said, "Hey, is this really you?" Or some other thing. But I want you to know, when Jesus' presence came into the room, it changed everything. And it's the same way for us today. To our fearful hearts, Jesus' presence and peace are still the answer, as it was in this moment in time. I think it's the heart of God, because it's evidenced in this particular passage of Scripture, that God is tender toward our proneness to fear. He understands our inclination to walk by sight and not by faith. He understands that. You see, in Psalms chapter 103, verse 14, it says, God knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And so he's compassionate toward us. Let me illustrate this point if I can. If you are a parent, and most of you are today, imagine coming home and finding one of your children in a most vulnerable moment. You see your four-year-old. Picture this. Weeping on his bed, and you rush over to comfort your little four-year-old. You ask, what's wrong? And he says, Mommy, Daddy, what are we going to eat today? Where are we going to live? Who's going to take care of us? I'm sure that you as a parent would be far removed from anger or annoyance in that moment. I don't think you would say, hey, come on, let's go into the woodshed and you're going to get whipped for this. I'm sure you as a parent would find that your heart would be grieved to see your child in such a fearful state of anxiety. And I want to say that in light of how God views us when we're walking through our times of humanness and fear, how much of our emotional health do we willingly give over to fear? And you need to know, the Lord knows your every need. He provides for the birds. And aren't you of more value than they? He clothes, the Bible says, the flowers, and will he much more clothe you? Scripture says there, O ye of little faith. God's concerned about the conditions of our heart. This morning, as we process life and we walk through the different forms of fear that we face, I want to bring this very clearly to you, that Jesus' presence removes fear. And if you're walking in some kind of fear today, you need to ask yourself some real clear questions. What's preventing me from trusting, abiding, connecting, embracing Jesus in the fullest measure? You're never farther from his desire for you when your heart is filled with anxious fear. So what needs to be our game plan? I want to give you quickly some of these, and then I'm going to encourage David to come, who has an encouraging word on abiding. I want him to give that to you this morning as we wrap up our time. But I want to share with you what might need to be our game plan. I want to offer some things for you this morning to stay the course of faith and avoid fear. Can I get a confession out of you this morning? How many, like me, have hints of fear encroach your life? Well, here we go. I'm going to give you some things that I've kind of learned in the process. Number one, realize the answer to fear is Jesus' peace. These do not co-mingle. You don't have the peace of God and fear in the same chair. All right? That doesn't happen. Number two, access to peace is Jesus. So firstly, realize that the answer to fear is peace. But accessing that peace, you need to be clear on this, is the person of Jesus. But I want you to know, proximity by itself doesn't equal provision. Did you get that? Proximity by itself doesn't equal provision. Number three, you must draw on God's strength. You have to welcome the strength of God into your life. You can scan the horizon of your future, and if you're fearful about anything, you can now just step in and draw from God and what his provision might be. You draw on God's strength. You've got to draw on his strength. Number four, let Jesus speak peace to you. I give you those four things as action steps to embracing and Jesus and taking steps to eliminate the fear element. Jesus is every bit as much in the room with you as he was with the disciples. When you embrace him, So the bottom line is this: only Jesus can disarm your fear, and he'll replace it with his peace. I want David to come and talk to us a little bit about abiding this morning and how that factors into where we need to walk as a people.
Thank you, Pastor. During worship, the Lord began to just drop into my heart. Jesus talked in John about he is the true vine and we are the branches. And he said that everyone that abides in him bears much fruit. And the fruit that is born brings glory to the Father. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. That word abide means to be deeply rooted, deeply connected. And Jesus prayed his priestly prayer in John 17, that Father, that the ones that believe in me, my followers, that they would be one as you and I are one. That the world may know that you have sent the Son. And so the heart of God is that we be so one with him. That same oneness, that same intimacy that the Son and the Father had and have and continue to have. That abiding speaks of, Paul said, I have been crucified. The life I now live, I live by faith in Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave his life for me. And I believe the Lord just wants to give a gentle urge today. Paul says to examine ourselves to see if we still be in the faith. And Jesus wants us to examine our oneness with him. He says, I've given you one life. You only have one life. How are we living this life? Jesus went on to say that a person's life does not consist of the things he possesses in Luke chapter 12. Our job, our home, our cars, our status do not define who we are. These are earthly things, transitory things. Yes, he blesses us. He blesses his people. But that doesn't define who you are. He said, seek rather to be rich in your relationship with your heavenly Father. That defines who we are. We believe and we seek the manifest power of God, right? We want to see what Jesus said, those who believe my name, these signs shall follow. That's part of the authentic gospel. However, in Matthew 7, Jesus addressed a situation. You prophesied in my name. You did miracles in my name. You cast out demons in my name. And you called me Lord. But he says, depart from me. I never knew you. How can that be? I have some theories, but I'm not going to get into it right now. But the issue is, it says, I never knew you. Jesus showed us how to live. His eyes and his ears were connected with the Father. He said, I did nothing except I saw the Father do the works. I spoke nothing except I heard the Father speak the words. He said, the works that I do are the Father working through me. And so I think what the Lord wants to remind us today, it's not about the works. It's not only about the signs and wonders. It's being connected to him, knowing him, and letting him live his life through us. And that requires intimacy. That requires a change in our schedules. That requires a change in our priorities. The things of this world are passing away. There's only one thing that's going to remain, and that's His kingdom. Now, I don't understand eschatology, but I do understand one thing. If you want to get a glimpse of God's timetable, where we are, focus on what's going on in the nation of Israel. We're getting close, family. This move of God that is sweeping the earth, it may be the last move of God before the rapture of the church. Time is short. Time is short. And Jesus said, let me live through you. Let me speak through you. Begin to reassess our lives. Am I living my life to the fullness for the kingdom of God? Am I truly stepping aside and giving room for Jesus? Am I crucifying myself every day and living my life by faith in Him? Am I examining my life? Am I still living in the faith? Jesus said, did you do the things I asked you to do? It's different for each one of us. But that's the bottom line. Are you doing what I've asked you to do? And it starts with intimacy and time with Him. Peter was so intimate with the Lord. It said that when he passed by people, his very shadow healed people. He was so one in the presence of God. Kind of sounds like Psalm 91, in the shadow of the Almighty. And so I just feel the Lord wants to encourage us today, remind us today, how are we living our life? How are we spending our time? Are we truly seeking to abide in Him? Rooted, deeply rooted and grounded in Him.
Well, Dave, you said a lot in that in a short span, but here's what I want to say related to that. Abiding in Jesus is going to affect your productivity on the planet. Right? Hey, listen carefully. Abiding in Jesus is going to affect how productive we're going to be. But at the same time, in relation to what I just shared with you, abiding in Jesus is going to settle the issue of how you walk your life in fear or faith. Good word, Dave. There are consequences to our choices. This morning, I want to pray for you that your life would be full of faith. And when you abide in Jesus, His peace comes to you. And what happens to fear? All those phobias, which in fact I said at the start of this message, was the enemy's plot to overthrow you in a spiritual war. But when you embrace the presence of Jesus, He supplants the enemy. And He gives to you faith. He gives to you peace. And you can live your life fully, day by day, in peace. Stand to your feet with me, would you please? Would you lift your hands? That's a visible sign of not only surrender, but receiving. Let your hands, your outstretched arms, be your antennas today to the message of hope that Jesus has for you. Lord, we stand in this room. All of us, look at this place, Lord Jesus. Full of people lifting their hands to you, just simply saying, Lord, I want to receive hope from you. I want to disarm fear in my life. I realize that to do so, I need to embrace you. I need to receive you for who you are. The prints of the nails in your hands, the Riverside, and I'm intentionally abiding in you today. And as I do that, in this troubled world, I have nothing to fear because my trust is in you. My anchor is in you. And as we look all around us, the chaos in our governmental systems, the economies of this world, what is taking place in the Middle East and other places, Lord, that's easy to set us up for fear. But Lord, we're trusting you because you have all things in perfect control, even our life, even where the rent, the house payment's coming from this month. You've got that covered, and we trust you. We trust you for our next breath. We trust you with our families. We trust you. Impeccably today. And we receive your peace now in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I encourage you this morning to live that way tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Next Sunday, I want to talk to you about worship, what that looks like, and how God wants us to be worshipers. Then we get to hear Joel Chooks. Let me rephrase that. Joel Chooks next Sunday, worship after that. How's that? Okay? Just getting ahead of myself a little bit. But we're not gonna take a step backwards. We're gonna keep pressing forward. Amen. And believe in God for what he has. If you wish to have further prayer, come. We have a great worship team, great prayer team. That just love to see you advance in the ways of God. If you must go, God bless you. Have a powerful, powerful week. And for goodness sakes, don't walk in fear. Amen? Come on, give the Lord an applaud today.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.